I'd like to speak on what is written in your heart. What is actually written in our hearts? I want to quote from Jeremiah chapter 33. This is a very important chapter, and we'll say a little bit more about it in just a minute. Beginning in verse 30, "Behold, the days are coming. It is the declaration of Adonai. When I will make a new covenant, Brit Hadashah, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." The house of Israel and the house of Judah enclosed, therefore, all 12 tribes. Because the house of Israel was the 10 tribes original, and the house of Judah is the other two with the Kohanim. "Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. It is a declaration of the Adonai." Again, this is when the Torah and the prophets repeat something, it means it has extra meaning. So again, it's saying this is a declaration of Adonai. This is not man doing this. It's Adonai doing this. Verse 32, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. It is a declaration of Adonai." Now that's three times. Three times. "Let all things established in second, two witnesses. Third witness is solid. I will put my Torah within them. Yes, I will write it on their heart." The "it" there refers to the Torah. Okay, let's read that again. "I will put my Torah within them. Yes, I will write it," my Torah. He calls it his, by the way. He never said it's ours. Not here, anyway. This is my Torah, my teachings. Okay? "I will write them in their heart, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." Verse 33, "No longer will each teach his neighbor or each his brother, saying, no," the word there, "no" is Yodea, "become intimately familiar with Adonai, because they will all be intimately familiar with me." They will all know me. That means Yodea, again, will know me. "From the least of them to the greatest." It is a declaration of Adonai. Well, it's not too many things in the scripture where two or three verses, he makes something emphatic. Emphatic, repeated twice. Triple emphatic, repeated three times. Double jeopardy, okay? The full double jeopardy for the fourth time. The last part of this verse is, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." This is probably something you need to keep forever in Messianic Judaism. In Messianic Judaism, the statement right here by the prophet Jeremiah, in this particular very important chapter, 31, beginning on verse 30 to 33, it makes a prediction. "I'm going to make a new covenant," the Brit Hadashah, a Brit Hadashah in Hebrew. "I'm going to make a new covenant, but it's not like the one that I did before." The one that I did before, by the way, it doesn't say he's changing it all that much, right? He's just making it new. What's the part that's being made new? That before it was written in the scrolls, but now it's going to be written inside of us. Okay, now the things that he's going to write inside of us is what? His Torah. His teach. The thing that he's going to write inside of us is his Torah. How in the world can the body of Messiah not get this? Even if you translate it in the King James Version, where Torah is translated law, so he's going to write the law inside our heart in the King James Version, okay? And we're going to know him as a consequence. We're going to know him, thus have intimacy with him, if we know his law. His law. He didn't give it to us so that we can own it. He kept it as his. This is mine. But I'm going to write it inside your heart. My laws, my Torah, my teachings, I'm going to write inside your heart. So we need to then treasure whatever is his, especially if we're putting it inside our heart. You get it? Maybe you don't get it, but you're the Brinks. You are the safe. Okay, you are the place where it's being put in. And it's supposed to be very special. So, no, let's get Brinks out here. Let's get all these ones that protect the stuff that's inside. This should be as protected as the United States gold. But instead, the enemy has persuaded many people, not all people, okay? We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. A lot of the body of Messiah has been persuaded to take it out of the storage that's inside our heart and put it aside. But a time is coming. The time has already started happening. Because the Messianic movement is now 40 years old. So we're no longer children, tossed through and fro. We're mature to the point that we understand the significance and the importance of Torah in our heart. Yes, it's wonderful that we have a scroll, that we have an almost 300-year-old scroll, and that we have a 100-year-old scroll from Israel. It's wonderful that we have his word and we can treasure it and touch it and whatever. But let's get it in here, okay? Or in Jewish thought, it's actually deeper than that. And the heart's not really the pump. It's in Kishkes, right? It's in there, where all the organs are. Where the part of man that happens if you get shot there, you usually don't make it. I always wonder, why is it that you can be shot near the heart and you can still live? But if you're shot in the where those organs are, you seldom do. Because they carry all kinds of things. They carry good stuff. And they also carry waste, all those organs. They clean things up. That's the part of the body that's always cleaning. That's where Mr. Clean lives, right? Hopefully, the Holy Spirit, Mr. Clean. Okay? And that's where the security company exists. The Holy Spirit is, you know, he made abode in that place. Why would we take out the Word of God from there? And leave the Holy Spirit empty. Think for a moment. Every believer believes that the Holy Spirit is part of the of what we get. Every believer understands that the Holy Spirit makes a temple inside. But then we strip the temple. We strip that place out of everything. Now, we need to strip it out of the bad stuff. We need to put in there something that, let's give him something to do. Let's give him something to read. Let's give him something to enjoy. What do you suppose deity enjoys? How about deity enjoys the Torah of Adonai? How about that? How about deity enjoys the Word of God? Deity enjoys it. But if we take it out, okay, then we're the ones that suffer. Because the Holy Spirit has infinite mind. infinite recall. He is part of the deity, which is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. The Holy Spirit is all those things. I mean, he actually doesn't need us. He doesn't need a place to live. But he said he would. And the decorations, he brings the decorations with him. He brings what's good, the wallpaper on the wall, okay? He brings it all, and he's got it written there. And now we decide that, oh no, the Word of God is not what we need. So we want to take Yeshua out of the context of his Father. Imagine that. We take Yeshua out of the context of his Father and place him over here to, it's just talk, talk, talk. I don't do anything except what my Father tells me. And those words about, I'm going through this in John 17, but, you know, I'm not really liking it. I think about it, but my thoughts, not my thoughts, your thoughts. Not my words, your words. Not my will, but your will. How, if you take your will out of it, if you take Adonai's will out of the equation, you have a really less powerful equation. I know I'm talking engineering terms. But the engineering terms, there's a, I don't know the coefficients. It has an X and a Y and a Z. The X is Adonai. The Y is Yeshua. Ha ha ha. And the Z is the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what those numbers are. Okay? But they all three are there. Those are, maybe they're the same. A 1 and a 1 and a 1. So it's X plus Y plus Z. Or maybe it's 0.5 of this and 0.7 of that. And whatever it is, the answer is not 0. If you put 0 in front of it, the X, then there is no X. If you put 0 in front of the Y, there is no Y. But we say, no, 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 leave the Y alone. That stands for Yeshua. And then we begin to go, oh, well, you know, some people say you don't need Z. Or the coefficient needs to be really small. 0.1. 0.2. And now we begin to read the word and say that I think we need more of that. Okay? I think that the actual equation contains much more of the coefficient of Z. But where is the X? You know, the X looks like an aleph. Just imagine that. The X in Paleo Hebrew, okay, is the aleph, the representative letter of the Most High God. So what is it that has been written inside of us? Goodwill to all men. Yes. What's it written inside of us? Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Yeah, but more than that. That's only a little piece of a chapter. What is... Okay, the whole enchilada, right? The whole thing. The whole thing is God's word. It's inside of us. And we need to try to understand how precious that is to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And how much the Holy Spirit enjoys having the company of the Father in terms of the word. And the word was made flesh, right? So why would we want to take the word that was made flesh? I know that Yeshua is sitting at the right hand of the Father. But that's still with me, you know? The words are with me. They're written down. Am I going to just throw them out? I think most of us truly understand from the inside out. Okay? Like the song says, from the inside out. That you cannot take the Bible and take any piece you want out of it. You just go, okay, let me tear that piece out. Well, some people throw 39 out of the books out, which is like, Of course, the Gideons don't. They don't throw 39, they throw 37 because they keep the Psalm and the Proverbs. I love the Gideons, okay? So I'm making kind of a jokish thing. The little green Bible is just a little New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs. So it's really not a Bible. However, they do hand Bibles out. And when they hand Bibles, they don't hand you one third of it and the other third cut off. They hand you the whole King James Version, the entire Bible, King James. You find it typically in hotel rooms. You open right the drawer that is between the two beds, under the phone. You open that top drawer, and there's a green-looking Bible. It's a King James Version in his entire Bible. So I'm not really picking on the Gideons. They're lovely people. And they spread the word. But what would you think if you opened the drawer and there was only some pages? I mean, only the left part or only the right part, depending on whether you read from right to left or left to right, okay? If that's all there was there, you'd say, wait a minute, Gideons, what happened to the rest of it? Now, if the Gideons, who are primarily from the Baptist denomination, they're from all over, but they really kind of come from there. They're lovers of the word. The Baptists love the word of God. Can I say that again? The Baptists love the word of God. Well, how about the rest of the primary ones that came? The answer to that is, I don't know. I know the Baptists do. And another community that is evangelical, what's called the evangelical Christianity. Evangelical means the evangelio, which means the good news, the gospel. The evangelicals love the word of God. I've been among them, okay? And they're all over the place in the Americas. They love the word of God. They'd be shocked to say that you take this out. But that's precisely what, in some cases, we have been sold. We have been, in a way, driven to think that. Now, if you confront, I guess I better not say names, okay? So you turn on your radio at night, you know, WGN or the ones that come in anyway, you can't keep them out. And you hear, the great speaker from this denomination, and you hear the great speaker from this denomination, and you hear the great speaker from that denomination. Now, if you were to go to one of those people and say, is the Old Testament done with? They say, no. What made you think such a thing? The spokesman for the denominations will tell you to your face, you can't take that out. So where do we get the other? Well, the reason that you might say that is because they are learned and they studied it and they have followed it precisely and they can quote it for you. And there's nowhere in there that says you can do away with this. They will even tell you what it means in Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew 5. They'll tell you exactly those words. Look, I've heard them. They do. I've ministered with them, with the promise keepers, with many of them. And they do. But why is it that the regular, I was going to say the regular J name, but I don't want to do that because I don't want to minimize any J names. I mean, after all, J is the letter of Jesus, which wasn't around until 1600. But anyway, in any case, look, Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Juliet, and what other names I could come up with that I can't think right now from famous names, so that all those folks, the problem is that Christianity doesn't read the word. The problem is that they get a Bible And you could ask people, how many times have you read the Bible? And you might find out that many people would say, well, I haven't read it all yet. You go, well, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You might miss the one thing you need right now for whatever is happening in your life you haven't read about it. Or they start throwing away pieces of it. And they go, well, see, anything I need, Yeshua told me. Okay? The problem is, we read Yeshua's words, but really don't believe what he said. I'm sorry to say that, but we read his word, but we don't believe what he said. Okay, we take his words like light and so on. And he said, you know, why did he reemphasize the Ten Commandments? So we need to take scissors and cut a couple pages out of Exodus, because that's still. Did he emphasize the book of Deuteronomy? Well, evidently he did, so let's keep those pieces on. Did he not talk about the others? In Matthew 5, he did. He said, not jot, one jot, one tittle, right? King James Version. Not one yud or one adornment on the letters, like the shins have adornment. Shall pass in no way. Let me see if I quote the King James correctly from 40 years ago, 50 years ago when I could say. Not one jot, not one tittle shall pass from it till all be fulfilled. So either we're saying it's all been fulfilled or we're not following what he said. And the answer is not all has been fulfilled. We still got stuff to do. The Holy Spirit is still wanting to do other things before Yeshua comes back. I'm being very nice as I can be to say that there is no way you can remove any part of the Word of God. The word Torah is not knowledgeable to Christianity. When you say Torah, they say, well, that's the law. And you say, well, where is that in the Bible? They actually don't know. Okay? Torah is called the five books of Moses, except that Moses didn't write them. Moses took dictation. So I wouldn't call the stenographer in the courthouse the author of the stuff. The stenographer writes what was said. All the stenographer does is it put it down on paper so that both the law and the people can go and say, well, what was exactly that so-and-so said on their oath? So who is it? What does the stenographer do? By the way, do we actually go shoot at stenographers, or we hang them by their toes, or we persecute them, or whatever, because they're writing what they hear? You can't, because the law is very clear about their work. Their work remains part of the court record, and it's there essentially forever. So Moses was a stenographer. He didn't invent any of that. He wasn't around to know what happened on the first days of creation. He wasn't around before his great, 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 great grandfather and mother got together and had a baby. He wasn't around when Noah's ark was floating around and there was nobody else. He wasn't around with any of that. Moses was not around for any of that. So he documented it, and in Hebrew, the word is Torah. The Jewish people did not invent that word. Don't give them too much credit, okay? The Jewish people did not invent the word Torah. It's written in the book. And Torah means teaching, doesn't mean law. It properly means teaching. Now, I like to ask a question. I used to ask the question of the Gideons and everybody else that tends to want to minimize the Old Testament. I said, well, OK, Can we open Psalm 19? Let's open Psalm 19. Beginning in verse 7. The Torah of Adonai is perfect. The Torah of Adonai in Hebrew is Torat Adonai. It's perfect. Temima, Temima. Which actually means whole and flawless. Flawless. Converting the soul. The testimony in Hebrew, that's edut. The edut of Adonai is sure. The word sure there is ne'emana, which means sure and trusted, trustworthy. Okay? Making wise the simple. Verse 8. The statutes, that's pikudei, pikudei. There's a Torah portion called pikudei, okay? Anyway, the statutes of Adonai are right. The word right, that's translated right, is she'arim, yesharim, I'm sorry. Yesharim, which means right and honest. Right and honest. In other words, there's no guile in there. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment, that's the word mitzvot, plural. Mitzvah, mitzvot, plural. But mitzvot of Adonai is pure. Ooh, that word is a compound word in Hebrew. Bara meirat. Okay? And it actually literally means pure light. Like the pure light of that comes from the sun, right? That's healthy for you, vitamin D. Enlightening the eyes. Verse 9, the fear, that's yirat, yirat. The fear of Adonai is clean. The word there, clean, is tehura, which means untainted. Clean and untainted, enduring forever. The judgments, that mishpatei, from mishpat, which is associated with ruling, with judges. The mishpat, the mishpatei of Adonai are true and righteous. That's emet sadku yachdav, which means true and righteous altogether. More to be desired, verse 10, are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Okay, there's a song to this. But I want to focus on the first verse, verse 7. It's perfect. It's perfect. Why would you throw out of the abode of the Holy Spirit that which is perfect? What is wisdom? What is a common definition of wisdom? Chokmah in Hebrew. What is a good definition? A good definition of wisdom is seeing things the way God sees them. If you see things like God sees them and react accordingly, you will be wise. What's interesting is that the book of Proverbs says that wisdom was with me in the beginning. Wisdom was with him in the beginning. Referring to wisdom as if it were a person in the book of Proverbs. I mean, that's beautiful stuff in the book of Proverbs. Why would you throw away wisdom? You throw away wisdom, you're throwing out something that is in the throne. Something that is all around the Almighty. Wisdom is all around the Almighty. Why would you throw it out? You think he likes his adornments in his house? Or do we need to hire Marilyn or Rebecca or Stephanie to go decorate Adonai's house? Because he doesn't know what he's doing. I don't think so. I don't think so. I want you to keep in mind those words about Torah. Because it doesn't make any sense that you would badmouth, ignore, throw aside something which is perfect and that it belongs to Adonai. He's not saying the scroll is perfect. Torat Adonai The word is Torat Adonai. They're together. Okay? Torat Adonai is perfect. It belongs to him. It's like he is perfect. Why would we not keep that? So with that in mind, now I can maybe preach a little or teach a little. So what was the crux when you read verses 30 to 33 of Jeremiah? What is stands out? What would you say is the irreducible minimum of what was said in Jeremiah 31, 30 to 33? The answer to me is this. Adonai has written his Torah in every man's heart and conscience. Adonai has written his Torah in every man's heart, but also in his conscience. Why do you say that? I will put my Torah within them. That means that he's going to put something in our innermost being, so to speak. Within here is really where the conscience is. But see, that's not my thought. Paul already wrote it. So let me quote it from the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Quote, they show that the work of the Torah is written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts switching between accusing and defending them. But the conscience is bearing witness. That is, he didn't only just put it in there. Like, okay, let me stick it in there. Like you're just a storage place. You know, Spring Hill storage. But instead, he also put it within. He took the content that was in there and put it within, where the conscience feeds. What is good medicine? What is good food for the conscience? Good food for the conscience is the Torah of Adonai, the Torah of God. When the conscience is exposed, when you expose the conscience to Adonai's commands, genuine conviction occurs. Because that which is perfect, and you compare yourself to that which is perfect, leaves you wanting. Conviction leads to repentance. Sometimes I want to get Lois and give her a microphone and debate aloud with her. How is it that you do what you do? And how do you lead people to the Lord? The answer is not magic. The answer is not that you give them something. The answer, no, all those, you know, they're vehicles by which what you are attempting to do in every time, you're attempting to lead them to Shuvah. Shuvah, okay, comes when there is conviction. When the heart has conviction, then it's ready to do Shuvah. It's ready to do turn around and go in a different direction. No conviction, very difficult. Now, we're not responsible because the Lord said, my Father, oh boy, my Father. Well, we don't care about him because we threw him out with the Torah. But anyway, my Father, which we need to really care about, will send the Holy Spirit on a person. But that person has to initiate it. Because he's a gentleman, he's not going to just go in there and shove it all out. When conviction happens in a man, and the conviction is that he starts to understand, it's him. That's the Spirit of God working, and that result brings about repentance. When repentance happens, then what does that bring? What's the fruit of repentance? Forgiveness and true freedom, among other things, right? Forgiveness, no more, I'm guilty, and true freedom. All of a sudden, I'm free. People get saved, the first thing they say is, I'm free. Free from what? From me, from all that was inside of me. Here's what happens. That which is written in our hearts and put within us, okay, does something. That which is written in your heart and is put within you does something. It's of God. So let's try to explain it. Usually we need adjectives to do that in language. So I'm going to use some adjectives, the same ones that were used in the Torah. So the first adjective that I find is the Torah of Adonai is perfect. That's the first one. In other words, the first step in gaining wisdom for daily life is to see problems, how problems relate to the Torah of Adonai. The more we meditate upon Torah, the more skillful we will be in identifying the wrong ideas and actions that we've been doing. That's called generally ground, okay? Ground. That we have surrendered to Satan. Oh, no, I never done that. I've never surrendered anything to Satan. Just don't cut me off in front of the university. Then I will show you the fingers that go up. When you understand what's happening inside of you as you meditate on what it is that Torah means, inside of you, you will avoid the consequences because you become aware of the consequences. What are consequences? Well, let me use Yeshua's word. In Matthew 18, they are torturers and tormentors. Torturers and tormentors is the word that Yeshua used in Matthew 18 from the Greek. Yeshua gives the same principle. Here it is, Matthew 18. Enraged, the master handed him over to the torturers. What? Enraged, the master handed him over to the torturers until he paid back all he owed. Well, how are you going to pay back all you owe if you're being tortured? I like to preach that again sometime. I preached it before. My daughter would say, Dad, you already talked about that. She has a really good memory. So also my heavenly Father will do to you. Unless each of you from your hearts forgive his brother. But see, I also showed you that the Torah of Adonai is also just. And because it's just, it is able to turn around our mind, that is, change our mind. It is able to shape the will. What do you mean? Torah is like the fingers of the potter in Jeremiah 18. Okay, that mold things and the fingers of that, the Holy Spirit. And it's able to tame the emotions. That's how Hispanics can live. If our emotions are tamed. When I start to show that I'm Hispanic, my colleagues in the Messianic movement start saying, Tony, you're just a little bit over the top. And someone said not long ago, I didn't know there was that side of you. No me entiendes. No me entiende, porque eso estado ahí siempre. I'm Hispanic. I am passionate about everything. Okay? I put that under the PhD label so I can tame it down and just act like the same old boring guy. But if you were in my classrooms, And there's nobody left here except Amelise has been in my classroom. If you are in my classroom, you came to find out that I don't go like, my classroom at UF. Hey! My classroom at UF. Are you sleeping? In my classroom at UF, I walk by, somebody has a laptop open or a phone. I said, can I look at the pictures too? So when my knees stopped working, it was time for me not to teach anymore because I was animated, 100% animated. I'm passionate. But my passions can be tamed. Let me tell you, you don't have any excuses. We don't have any excuses. Here it is, Romans 1:20. His invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through things that have been made. So people are without excuse. Okay? I could say more about, but it's perfect. I don't need to say any more. It's perfect. Perfection auto service here in Gainesville. The second thing that the scripture says, the testimony of Adonai is sure. Look, Adonai has given to us a cloud of witnesses. And the testimonies of many godly men and women are in scripture. So part of what scripture provides for us is to see how it's worked out for other people. These people have experienced every conceivable problem we have faced in our lives. And many have taken the right steps to be victorious. Not everybody. Because Judas didn't. Okay? The only one. Wisdom is viewing life from Adonai's perspective, I said. Wisdom, the definition of wisdom, is viewing life from Adonai's perspective. It is seeing the situation from a different point of view. Same situation, but now the interpretation of that is with a different point of view, with a different sensor, so to speak. Let me give you the sensor. For as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. In other words, it is not normal for us to be wise. It is not normal, unless you're named Walt Wise. It is not normal for you to be wise. It is normal for us to look inside and our experience and all those things and react based on that. But what the Bible is saying to us, the Torah gives us a different point of view. Peradventure, his point of view. Which is, how far is his point of view from me? Well, Isaiah said, as far as heaven is from the earth. But Yeshua went and got the Torah and wrote it in our hearts. So now it's not far at all. It's in there. Read it. Read it. Read it. Read it. His ways are opposite to our ways. So when you think this is how I feel like I normally act, okay, unless you're God, what you normally act is junk. And we need to act a different way. We need to act with the word of God directing us on how to act. Peradventure, people look at it and go, wow, since when did you become wise? I say, yeah, I changed my name. Tony Wise. The statutes of Adonai are right. The third adjective. When you apply Torah to a particular situation and understand the biblical concepts involved in the application, we begin to discern the ways of Adonai. The Lord said in the Psalms that many people, okay, saw what he did. But Moses understood his ways. Moses had an idea of what he was going to do and why he was going to do it because he understood his ways. The ways of the Lord are different than the actions of the Lord. Perception. Look, we can find his ways. They're in his Torah. This is the way he handled it. So we don't have to guess. It's in there. Since these concepts are accurate, they also have a ring of truth. That means our consciences are happy to receive his instructions. Okay. The conscience food. The plantains to the conscience. The steak, the baked potato to the conscience is the Torah of Adonai. Why starve it? Okay. You can give some salad to the conscience. But the conscience also needs some meat and fish. Okay? And that, you're going to find that in the Torah. Everything else is milk toast. Okay? Here's another thing it said. The commandment of Adonai is pure. Pure. P-U-R-E. Like the gas station that used to be around here, right? Pure Oil Company. Once we understand the holy requirements of the Torah of Adonai, the wise perspective of biblical testimonies, and the insight in scriptural concepts, we're then ready to make decisions in our life. These decisions become biblical commitments that help us identify with the ways of Adonai. Always trying to identify with how would we do it? We say this kind of stuff. We say, do what Jesus do. Okay? Do what Yeshua does. So, did Yeshua ever have anything negative to say about the Father? Did Yeshua have anything negative to say about Torah? Did Yeshua ever throw it away? Did any of that? So why? We're not being like Yeshua if we throw away anything concerning the Father or the Holy Spirit for that matter. And so what she was saying today is, look, we need to get in the program. Get in the program and start getting all that he said. Don't throw anything out. Because none of it is throwable. It's all essential. All of it. Essential. Essential oils. Okay? It's essential oil all the way. When you do things the way Adonai does it, and you think that way, you are mature. You exhibit maturity. Maturity which allows you to grow even more in the Messiah. The more biblical commitments a person makes, the more spiritually mature he becomes. Something else happens. Their eyes are bright. Oh man, I need to sometime again teach again on something I taught before. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and rejoice in your Father in heaven. So, I guess you know, that your light so shine, so go ahead and get a combat flashlight. Okay? Well, what you need is one of those lights that they have when they're doing the roads at night, which you can't even get near and touch, and you cannot see direct. That's what you need. It let your light so shine before men. I mean, if you blow them away with not just a little light, but a they don't just sit there going, oh, that's awesome. Or if I were in the 60s, wow. Wow. If I were in the 60s, that's groovy. What is he talking about? The commandment of Adonai is pure, enlightening the eyes. Literally? Yeah. What does that mean? That means that the commandment uses your eyes. You don't need the stuff that's on the highway. You don't need a tactical What you need is more Torah in there. And let it change your eyes. People will then look in your eyes and see him. They will look in your eyes and feel him, feel his love. And when that happens, they start smiling at you like, okay? Some people have gotten husbands and wives because that, they thought that's what was going on. The Messiah said, our eyes will show outwardly what is inwardly. So our eyes will show if it's good on the inside or if it's dark on the inside. Again, I've spoken about that before, that the enemy comes to bring darkness. And when you're in joined to the enemy, what comes out of your eyes is nothing but darkness. But Yeshua came to give light and light more abundantly, okay? I know it is life and life more abundantly, but light and light more abundantly too. So that you can look at somebody and they can go, oh, wow, wow. People should be able to look at us and go, oh, wow, oh, wow. Evidently, the only person that can do that around here is Lois. Because she goes around the homeless and all those things and looks at them and talks to them. And they melt up. But God save us if we just decide to do that in Publix. Or decide to do that in the government offices. Have you ever been nice to a government official? You see, if our eyes so shine before men, they will see our good works and rejoice in our Father which is in heaven. Therefore, Yeshua said, there is nothing outside the man that can make him unholy by going into him. Rather, it's what comes out of the man that makes the man unholy. We take that as words, vomit. You take that any... How about your eyes? How about your eyes? Can your eyes project a light like that? Can you actually transmit energy using light? Ask Sam. He might remember E equals MC squared, okay? Can you get light? Can you get energy from light? Light and energy are related by an equation, mathematically. In other words, you can get light. And when you get light, it's not, you're not looking at somebody and go, they look at you and go, oh yeah. But if the eyes are bringing energy, the other person goes. Woo! Like what happens to Sam, right? The woos from Sam. I'm not the only one. There you go. Two more. The fear of Adonai is clean. Clean. Daily disciplines help us maintain our decisions and help solidify our walk. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And it is also the way we obtain honor, riches, and ultimately abundant life. The fear of the Lord is a continual awareness that I am the presence of a holy, just, almighty Elohim. That's the fear of Adonai, the respect of Adonai. And that every thought, word, and action, and deed is open before him. And I know that I'm going to be judged on those things. Yeshua said it. Every word, every action, every deed, every thought. Of course, Yeshua didn't mean it for you. You're exempt. Huh. And nobody exempt. If you live the daily life realizing that Adonai is watching you, reminds me of the joke, Jesus is watching you. Jesus is watching you. Jesus is watching you. person go, I can't see anything in here. Well, what do you mean Jesus is watching me? And he goes on to do what he's going to do, take or whatever. And all of a sudden, rawr! The owner says, Jesus, pull back. The name of the dog. That's the joke. Look, if Adonai is watching and evaluating everything you're doing, you know what happens when the Torah is inside? It starts to draw out, push out of the inner man the junk. And it shows up on the outside. The same way that when I eat too much butter and too much bread and too much bacon and too much of this and too much cheese and too much of the other and too much of the other, little bumps start showing up around here. You know, like a little bump here and a bump up here and all that kind of thing. Go, I guess I'm turning into a teenager again. What's the answer to that? Let me go get some that cream, cover it up. I go into the store and I go there and ask the lady, where's the stuff for acne? She looks at me and says, you don't have that problem. The stuff for old men is over there. The geriatric part of the drugstore is over there. This is for young people, right? Okay. The Lord is going to expose every secret sin in your life. Let me say that again and not cut you any breaks here. The Lord is going to expose every secret thing, sin. He's going to expose every secret sin. You think you're getting away with it. You ain't getting away with nothing. He's going to expose it. Every secret sin. Because he wants to cleanse from the inside out, like the song says. Finally, the judgments of Adonai are true and righteous. The ultimate experience any of us can have is for Adonai to judge us. Oh. If I'm going to be judged by anybody, let Adonai judge me. If Adonai says, welcome, good and faithful servant, I made it. The problem is, we have gotten it pretty mature now and realized that because I said I'm saved 48 years ago and I'm saved forever, I can do whatever I want, and I'm still saved. You go right ahead and use that if you want. As for me, ain't no way. I'm seriously nervous when I evaluate my last 48 years since I got saved. Well, if the rabbi doesn't know if he's doing it okay, there's no hope for anybody here, right? That's what you're going to say? Don't take for granted anything. Work out your salvation on a continual basis until he returns. Have the mindset that you're always improving. You're an everlasting improvement project. You're the Home Depot of Adonai. And you're the Lowe's of Adonai. And you got all the materials to do home improvement perfectly. So you can improve. And make a better version of yourself every year. There should be a better version of yourself every year, every moment, every day. Look, if that happens, what an accomplishment. That's called a life message. Oh, I need to see that sometime. The life message. Well, let me tell you what Paul thought about the kind of life message we need to have. Paul said, you are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You are our letters, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. 2 Corinthians 3:2. When we apply Torah We will see the work of the Spirit when he changes our lives. But this is the way we want it. Holy Spirit, come and do your work. And he goes, okay, I'm not giving you any help. I am not, you come in and you bring your own brush. And you bring your own detergent. Okay? And you do all of that. I'm just going to sit here and chill. The ball game is on. Cleanse me while I'm watching the ball game. Oh, yeah, I'm not even preaching. So, in view of all this, what can we say? What can we say? And Paul said, what can we say? Okay. It's in the same psalm, verse 15. Here it is. What can we say? Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, Adonai, my strength and my redeemer. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Join me. More to be desired are they, the words of Adonai, the Torah of Adonai, than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Amen. Let's stand.